course, the spark. You know, and it's so misused. So I wrote this course 20 years ago. I revamped it a couple years ago, and you know, it's 15 sessions. I'm only doing 8 with them, and then I'm going to have to do a part 2 where we get into more depth, what the prophetic is, what it isn't, and everything. And I told him, I said, you have no idea. And honestly, when the plane touched down in San Francisco, you know, which was probably one of the smoothest landings we've ever had in our lives, despite all this hoopla about the, you know, how bad the storms were and everything, you know. And we touched down, and as soon as we touched down, God said, my presence is here. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. And so this morning, you know, I was looking up Shekinah glory and, you know, the different kinds of glory and everything. And then the Lord just brought me to Psalm 91. And I know that, you know, we probably preached the death out of Psalm 91, and I couldn't write fast enough as I was writing, you know, where it says, you know, in Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And I looked up the word dwell, and it says to settle down, to calm, and to be trusting. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, just got the word last night that the Shekinah glory wants to dwell in your lives and in the church. And this is it. You guys are in the shelter of the Most High. I said to the class this morning, we are literally in a church right now that has experienced one of the greatest miracles that I, you know, it just blew me and Sharon away, because you had an impossible situation. And I always say to people, God is the God of the impossible, but when it comes to our own lives, sometimes we forget about it, you know? And we saw God do the miraculous here at Harvest Church, and He's not done.
Not yet.
He's not done. And, you know, listen to this. This blew my mind. All Christians, you know, I think I'm going to preach a message on this, but as I was writing, I wrote here, when we dwell in His shelter, we are living in His continued relationship with the Lord. To make a decision to stay, we normally run to Him in times of trouble, like a bank account. Don't wait for the problem to come and then panic. Have enough in Him to handle it. And it blew my mind as God was downloading this to me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, it convicted my heart, because many times I want to run from something. If it's unpleasant and everything, and the Lord says, you got to have sticking power. And, you know, what I said last night about you being a remnant, not to, it wasn't being critical. It's, I'm blessed. There's a whole book called The Remnant. You know, and I'm blessed to see the people that stayed, and God honored his commitment to you. And, you know, it goes on to say that the shelter, when it says under the shelter of the Most High, a safe place, a hiding place, a place of security to keep safe, to preserve, to put a hedge around you, to insulate you, to calm you, to provide a warm, snug, cozy place to be covered from harm. Wow. You know, that is, you know, a hiding place will protect you. There's times we have to go into a hiding place. There's times that we have to go into, I call it a slumber mode, you know, and sometimes we need that, where God retools us and God is speaking to us. And we're always trying to keep the engine going. And the Lord said to me, you know, tell this church they're in a Selah moment, you know, where He wants you to just kind of just, I don't know if you all are going through, that's me, I'm sorry, I should turn this off. People are writing me left and right. That Selah moment, You know, you guys are going into a time, a season of fasting and prayer I'm taking. Okay, are you or aren't you? Are you doing that this month or no?
We don't have the big plan, but yeah.
But what the Lord was saying to me is take this month and take a Selah. Take a step back and just start to look at, start to account. I don't know if you've got anybody in the church that can do this, and this is up to you, but look back on 2022 and look at everything that the Lord has done for Harvest Church. Mm-hmm. I just, because you know what? We go through the year. We're going through a season. We're in a time right now where we're being barraged with so much stuff. And just take some time in January to just start putting up a few things and say, look, we were facing this, and the Lord brought us through this. And then start giving thanks for that.
Amen.
You know, just give thanks and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for putting in, put us in the shelter under your wing. Thank you for all of these things that you've done for me. Because I believe in my heart, as I was pressing into the Lord this morning, Psalm 32:7 came to me, and I wrote this here. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. What secret places and shelters has the Lord provided for you personally and as the house of God? I truly believe before breakthrough comes, we have to reflect on the goodness of the Lord and what he saved you from and what he kept off of you. And when we do that, wow. When we do that and we remain in a close relationship with the Lord and we just give him the praise and the glory, and people say, well, this is so simple. Yeah, God is simple.
Yes.
You know, he wants the praise. He wants the glory. Does not the Bible say he's a jealous God? You know, we shall have no other gods before him in everything. And I feel in my heart, you know, we're here at a Kairos moment to tell you to take that Selah. That Selah means to pause. And you got a big year ahead of you. You got 11 more months after January. But to take a pause and reflect. And Pastor Richard, I'm saying up on the screen, point, you know, number one, this is what God did for us. We were facing this. Bing, let's give praise and glory to the Lord, because one of the things I'm going to, when I'm preaching tomorrow, is that gratitude is a key to breakthrough.
Yes.
And this church is in a year of breakthrough. You're right there. But one of the keys before that breakthrough comes is to recognize and get in your spirit what you faced for 365 days and how you had to battle and how God showed up. And I especially love the story about the church. Now, I know that happened before 2022, but you know what? That's miraculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That God provided a place before you even knew what was coming from the school. But he knew.
Amen.
And you know, and I tell people this, you know, people go, ah, it's never going to happen. I hate when people use the word never and everything. How you know you're in the will of God is when you don't even know what's coming and he's already provided it for you
before
you go there.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And he did. And he did.
He did.
He did. In the middle of COVID, in the middle of the worst times of our life, God provides a buyer.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Yeah. Just think about this. Yeah. Everybody else is freezing their assets and stopping stuff. Don't go there. And then Pastor Richard's keeping me informed, and we're praying for this stuff. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is if this comes, this is a miracle, because this is impossible for the season that we're living in. And the Lord always reminds me, what do you tell people? I am the God of the impossible.
Yeah. That's right.
And he goes, because they have not veered from my word, because they kept the vanguard up of prayer, because they said, we're not going to be dismayed, because people were falling off the wagon train and saying, you know, how long is this vision going to come to take place? Good grief. The Bible was just literally littered with people waiting. But I'll tell you, there's one spot in this Bible that talks about somebody who got impatient.
Yep.
And an Ishmael was born. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got thinking about that this morning. Mm. For 18 years, until he got to a year of accountability, they had to put up with Ishmael because they didn't trust God to do what God said he was going to do. Some of the greatest things in our lives, right, Sharon, we've had to wait. Yeah. We've had to wait for. I mean, we had word 4 or 5 years ago that God would uniquely bless us in our latter years. Right. And what are we going through? COVID. The first year we go full-time ministry, COVID hits. We're not traveling anywhere. Okay. And then my position with Compassion writing grants, that went away. And I looked at the Lord and I said, we have no retirement plan. We are whittled down to Social Security, you know, and we can't travel and we can't do this. And the Lord said, what are you worried about? And then all of a sudden we got a church calls us and said, we were praying as an eldership and we feel we need to support you monthly. Another church calls. We were on the airplane coming home from a trip last year, and I get a text from a pastor. It said, we've decided we're going to support you and Sharon, you know, and all of this stuff. And I'm like, God, you can't make this stuff up.
That's right.
You can't make this stuff up. And,
that's right.
And what I said to Pastor Richard and... someone keeps asking me, and they were asking me, and they were asking me, because I use the word peace a lot, P-E-A-C-E. And one day the Lord just spoke to me, and he said, and it gave me greater peace. And I said, Lord, what is a true definition of peace? And he goes, the true definition of peace is doing what I tell you and wait for me to explain it to you later.
I love it.
I have to tell you, it has taken so much off of me. Because, you know, now when the Lord's here, and believe me, God uses her to enforce it, because she will say to me, because I have my valley moments, I'm just being transparent with you, and she'll say, what did God say? This is her favorite saying. What did God say? And then she'll say, honey, God's going to take care of us. God's going to, and then all these, you know, I have other people calling me saying, your ministry's going to expand. And I'm like, oh man, no, we cut back all this travel. We, you know, we cut it in half. Right. You know, we can't do 45 churches anymore. And they go, no, not that kind of expansion with the Holy Spirit and greater reach and seeing things and helping churches to confirm where they're at, to settle their hearts, settle their minds. And the Lord started speaking this morning about being inoculated. And I looked up the word inoculate. And the word inoculate is to introduce something inside of you that will protect you. Hmm. And I said, the presence of the Lord is going to inoculate Harvest Church to not only protect them, but to complete what he's put upon your hearts to complete. You know, I'm going to say to you, there are big churches, you know, they might have 1,800, 2,000, 3,000 people. And I'm going to say, because I know firsthand, because Sharon and I travel all around the country and in Canada. Nobody's experienced the miracle that Harvest experienced this past year, 2022. Nobody. Because I know. As a matter of fact, so many of them are worried their finances are dropping, and people have stopped coming to church, and they're watching online, and so many different dynamics are taking place. You saw a miracle, and I'm sure you had more than that, but you saw a miracle last year that you need to take that Selah moment and just reflect back on 2022.
Yeah.
And just start blessing the Lord for everything he did. Because when I preached to Merle, Pastor Mercy, you started to hit it in at the restaurant yesterday, is the leopards. One came back and thanked Jesus. Do you know what Jesus' words were? Where's the other nine?
Yeah.
That speaks to me how much Jesus cares about gratitude.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's right.
The King of Kings asks, where are the other nine?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that scripture is what kicked me off 2 years ago when the Lord said, I want you, Charlie, to every day. And I've had some pastors, I got some Canadian pastors, I challenged him. He said to me, every day I want you to write down in your Franklin planner, I carry a planner, 3 things you're grateful for that happened the day before. And by the way, they can't all be good things. You have to be grateful for some of the rough spots that came. And so I'm like, okay. So I start doing this. Well, I got to the end of the year of 2022, and I got all my planner pages, and every day has got, I think I missed a couple days, it's got them in there, and I'm thinking, I have over 1,000 things written down that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. So I just started reading through them, and I forgot about some of them. Mm-hmm. And then some of them I looked at, and I said, well, thank God you got me through that. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for it. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful. And so I challenged some pastors, and I just got a text this morning from one of the pastors. He goes, me and my wife just read over, because he started it in June, because I talked to Matthew and Vanessa Turpin in Ottawa, Canada.
Yeah.
He goes, we had to repent before the Lord because we were complaining at the end of the year and we had forgotten what God did.
All
for
the
us.
Good things.
Wow. Yeah.
And he says, because of that, he says, I'm adjusting our fasting. They're in a time of fasting and prayer. And he says, and we're going to take our first week, and it's going to be all giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done. And he's actually, they're typing up all the things that they're grateful for that he did for the church, because they did 2 sets. And we're going to put it right in the people's hands for them to read. And he said, Charlie, we made this decision a week ago to do this. And he said, not that we were looking for anything, but our finances went up in 1 week 20%.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not that we go into it looking for a give and take, but God honors that.
Yes.
And so when you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, okay, he's going to do something great for you. And I want you to know that when I was writing here this morning, I put in here, tell Harvest this is a year of protection for them.
Good.
I'm gonna protect them. And he said, wow, he was talking so much this morning. He says, tell them that there's going to be a great repentance from drugs, alcohol, and sexual addictions within their communities in the church.
Wow.
Blows my mind. He said, tell them that their church is going to be like the Ponderosa. Now, for those of you that are our age and remember Bonanza,
yes,
you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's going to be a place of joy where the seed will hit the dirt and orchards will be produced out of this church.
Wow.
Orchards.
Wow.
Orchards. And he says they're going to have greater influence in foreign soils.
Mm-hmm.
He says, tell them. Now, I prayed for a couple people last night about deliverance. And he had me, I wrote this. I have put the keys of deliverance in their hands to set the captives free.
Yes.
Wow.
So there's going to be a year, this is going to be 2023, is going to be a year of being set free, deliverance. And then he said, I've never seen this before. I've read through my Bible for the past 15 years, once a year. I go through, I'm on a reading plan and I go through it. Read the word. I got probably about 16 Bibles because I write in all my Bibles, and when I fill them up, I start another Bible when I'm doing my readings. But he said, tell them I've got 6 promises for them. And it's right out of Psalm 91. I've never seen this before. And here they are. He says, 6 promises of God. Number 1, because he loves me, says the Lord, I'm going to rescue them. So the promise is he's going to rescue you. No matter what goes on this year, you're going to be rescued.
Yeah, amen.
The second promise is he says, I'm going to protect them because they acknowledge my name. Because you just acknowledge his name, he's going to protect you. And the third promise is, because they call upon me, I will answer them.
Yes.
There will be no more silence. And you know, the Lord just brought so much to my mind this morning. I mean, do you remember when the church went dark? For how many years did the church go dark? There wasn't no prophecy or anything. 400 years.
Yeah.
Who's the first person God speaks to after that about an oncoming baby? John the Baptist, his father.
Zechariah.
His mother. He breaks his silence. Okay, he breaks his silence after 400 years, and then Daddy says, how can this be, Lord? Look at my wife, look at me. What happens? 9 months of silence gets put on Daddy because he doubted the Lord. And it's ironic, after 400 years of silence, he gives another 9 months of silence. And he breaks his silence when he says, we're going to name him John. After the baby was born. And I'm thinking to myself, we got to be very careful with the Lord, what we do. Yeah, we're living under grace and we're living under, you know, but I'm telling you, we are in such a season that we have to watch what we say and how we act.
Yes.
And what we do. And the fourth promise is, I will be with you in trouble. Fifth promise, I will deliver you and I will honor you. Wow. And number 6, with a long life, I will satisfy you and show my salvation. You know, when I read this today, I'm like, wow, this is so exciting. I just kept going. You know, Hebrews 10:25, let us not forget or neglect the church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming is back again and is drawing near. Wow. We got to remind, you can't forget, we can't neglect the house of the Lord. And everywhere I go, and pastors say to me, you preach it, man, because I try to say it and I get beat up for it. I just tell people, your place is in the house of the Lord. Not watching on a computer. If you've got some kind of disability or something that you can't get there, then I totally understand it. But I got a woman sitting next to me that's been to hell and back, and she's in service.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
We, the word of the Lord says to be planted in the house of the Lord. And today we've got too many potted Christians. Now don't go there on me on that one either, okay? But when you're a potted Christian, you are not planted in the soil in the house of the Lord. And when you're potted as a plant, you have to rely on people to put you in the sun, to water you, to weed you. And when you're potted, many Christians make this choice to stay potted because if they don't like what pastor's preaching, their pot is portable.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're high maintenance.
Yeah.
You got to water me. You got to put me in the song. It's always me, 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 I. But when you're planted in the house of the Lord, when you're planted by the mighty river of God, and your roots are going down deep, the Word of God says you will prosper, you will thrive, you will, those things will happen. So I believe what God is speaking, and I want to speak to you, is to encourage people to get out of their homes and come back to the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
I really feel in my heart, and then the Lord started to speak to me. Wow, you okay? I just want to download this. You're taping this, so that's awesome. When the World Trade Center was destroyed, not one window was broken in that church that was right by the World Trade Center.
Wow.
It's a historic church. It sat there for years. And that speaks volumes to me. When we're planted in the house of the Lord, you know, some people say, I'm sick, I couldn't come to church. You know what? That's where you need to be. If you're going through something or you've got problems in your marriage, get to church.
Amen.
Everything you need. When we were walking into your church building last night, I had a vision, and I didn't share it with you all last night because I was kind of blown out of the water. There was the biggest well you ever saw in your life sitting right in front of the steps. And I said, what is that, Lord? And he goes, that's my well of salvation.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
That all that will dip a cup into that
come on.
Will
oh,
be saved.
Hallelujah. Come on.
And they will become part of this church. And he said, I am going to sit here in 2023 by this well, Jesus himself. I am going to sit here by this well, and I am going to offer a cup of cold water from the living well to everyone who will come to these doors.
Wow.
And then he said something so unique to me. He says, tell the leaders to dip into the well and take that with them.
Good.
So that wherever they go in their homes and their neighborhoods, it would that they it work, they can hand out that cold cup of water, because I desire people to be planted in my house.
Right.
Then the Lord spoke to me, the brook may be dried up in our lives. You may be feeling in your own lives that the brook in your life is dried up and God has forgotten you, but God spoke to you this morning and he said, tell them, yeah, the brook is dried up because I'm moving them to a river experience. The days of the brook are over with. It's moving you to a river. And when we lived in an in-law apartment, before we gave up everything in upstate New York to be completely Floridians, we lived on the St. Lawrence River. St. Lawrence River is one of the most gorgeous bodies of water that you will ever see in your life. It is a fast-moving river. If you're on your boat and you kill your motor, you will be downstream 5 miles so fast you won't know what hit you. And the water is crystal clear. You could see. It's the fastest moving body of water in the world, and it's the cleanest body of water in the world. And I got thinking about that this morning. When you're in a brook, it's just a babbling little thing, and you can hear it. But when you're in a river, you're going to move, baby. When that current moves you. I mean, we had a simple 18 and a half foot 3.0 inboard, outboard, and I had a heck of a time fighting against the current at the river, you know, with that boat. And that's what God's doing here. He's bringing a river experience to you. And then he said to me, he's making you stronger for the future yet to come so that you will reach your destiny. And God says, the bride of Christ is still in transition to pass from one stage to another. So keep your hearts expectant.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And the other two things he told me to tell you is your confidence is found in his defense of you. He's always defending you. And our confidence is found in God's deliverance of us. And God says, stop expecting grief and all this grief. Stop expecting it. Stop saying, well, it's just what it is. No, that is not what God has desired for us. Amen. He desires us to live in joy.
Amen.
He desires us to live in happiness.
Amen.
So what I'm saying to you is that secret place, during, if you decide to do this, that secret place in the Selah moment, people need to find, you all need to find your secret place under the shadow of his wings for 2023. It's a place you're going to need to go to.
Yeah.
Many times, because 2023 is going to be turbulent. Psalm 62, 7 and 8 says, my protection and success come from God above. He is my refuge, my rock, where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust him all the time. Pour out your longings before him, for he can help. He inhabits the praises of his people. He does. And so I've said all of this, you know, God was just downloading to me this morning, because once you get through January, February starts a season of radicalness. If this makes sense to you. God is remantling, I don't know if that's even a word, Harvest Church. Here's what he said to tell you. Radical prayer, radical intercession, radical relationships, radical unity, radical healings, radical giving, radical youth. He's about to shake the youth. He's going to rattle them, and it's going to be radical. And radical salvations.
Mm.
Wow. He's putting an overcoming spirit upon this house. He's remantling this church to have this. And I wrote here, don't worry about what other people say about you. The greater thing is what the Word of God says about you.
Wow.
I was blown away this morning. He sent his son to die for you. A new morning is coming to you. A new beginning is coming. And the Lord is on your side.
Wow.
Amen.
Praise God.
There's a lot there.
A lot.
A lot. But you have, how can I, I'm trying to find the right words. I don't want to say you passed the test, but you have stuck and you have not veered. And because I used the word earlier, that vanguard that you've kept up, God is going to honor you in 2023.
Hmm.
And if you think he honored you in 2022, that was nothing compared to what's about to happen in 2023. And I think, I don't think, I know, just based on last night, I don't know who that young lady was that we prayed over last night.
Mm-hmm. Clarita,
she kicked something off in the spirit last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because of her heart, her softness of her heart and her vulnerability that she has, it kicked, it just kicked. That's when I felt the spark, it kicked in. And I said, Lord, this church has been through so much. And he goes, yeah, but the days of chasing after the shiny objects are over with. You want to know that that's what's been going on in the church? I got pastors calling me crying, I lost an elder today. They've been with me 27 years. They picked up and went to another church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they went after something shinier.
Yeah.
You know, they saw something shinier. You got to know where you're called. You got to know where God has rooted you. Listen, we made a radical move, Sharon and I. We lived in upstate New York our whole life. Part of a church for over 30 years. And God started to speak to me. He says, I'm going to move you. I'm going to take you to a safe place, spiritually and physically. And I'm like, wow. And I thought back that we've been going to the same place we're living in now for almost 15 years before we actually moved there.
Right.
Because God was preparing us. And it was very difficult for us to leave our family. Okay? It was. But you know what? God worked on us. Our church, that, man, we were elders there and everything. God caused some things to happen, and there was a series of things that took place that when it came time for us to leave the church, we had a complete peace about it. And, you know, surprisingly, even our children, I'll never forget my daughter, our daughter, and my oldest son, they both almost said the same words. You got to go. We're living our lives, but Mom and Dad, you got to go where God leads you to go, and you got to do what God tells you to do, which gave me great relief. And it was really hard on my wife because we've got our 4 children, 13 grandchildren, and it was very difficult, but I knew it was God. And when it's God, believe me, it's smooth. We're part of a church called Christ Fellowship. You can look it up. It's over 23,000 people in the church. There are 12 locations. They're building the 13th location. Word of God church. They don't veer from anything. I mean, they get in the pulpit and they just say it. You know, marriage is between a man and a woman, period. You know, they don't cut any chase. And John Maxwell's there a lot because that's his church. And he preaches. And Joyce Myers is there. And we have now, you know, we took our first, a year ago, just about a year ago, we took our first new membership class in a church. And the pastor goes to us, why are you here? Because they know who we are. I said, that's because if we're going to serve in a church, we got to understand what the church is and where we can serve, because we're going to put our hands to this plow. So we knew everything worked out, everything. You know, people are going to leave. You know, but when people leave for the wrong reasons, and the thing that breaks my heart the most is when they were holding on to a dream and a vision, and then they give up on it. And I think to myself, what if Jesus would have given up on us? You know, you got to understand that Sharon and I, we've waited for years for stuff to happen. There are some things that have been prophesied that have not happened yet, but I'm not going to throw them out. We're gonna hold on. We're not going to let go. And you know what? It sent such a message to our children. I mean, it's like, you know, Mom and Dad, you just got to do what you got to do. And we're doing it. And I'm telling you that this is, I believe, I'm just going to say it. I believe 2023 is going to be the greatest year for this church, for Harvest. You're going to see things that you've never seen before. Because when that presence of God, if Jesus is going to sit right by that well at the front door of that church, something big is about to take place. And I'm going to say something, and it may not be something you might want to hear, but I believe that there are certain people that left that should have never left. And God is already working on their hearts now. And many of them want to come back, but are afraid to come back because they feel they can't be loved because they blew it. And I'm telling you, I think God's going to take care of that.
Hallelujah.
And you might say, well, man, some of them I don't want back. You gotta trust God, because listen, we're all human and we make terrible mistakes in our lives. And you know, if God spoke to me in a heartbeat, and man, he would have to almost come down, it would almost have to be a visitation for us to move back to New York State. But I mean, listen, if it was confirmed and there was enough witnesses, and then I would have to say to Sharon, look, we got to be in God's will. You know, I don't want to stay out of God's will. He had us here for a season, and now we got to go back. But I'm telling you, something's happening here. And I felt it last night. When I saw Jesus at a well in the front of a church mm-hmm. that I'm about to enter, something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I ate the wrong thing yesterday or anything like that. I was flabbergasted when I saw that, almost to the point where I was like wanting to take my boots off. I felt the parking lot was holy ground, you know. And so y'all need to get ready. You know, it's been a battle. But as you take the Selah moment, Selah is a transition. It's like a clutch. Push in the clutch, you know, to shift the gear. And God is shifting the gears of Harvest Church. And as you take the Selah moment, I call it, for lack of a better word, coming to mind this morning, a season of reflection.
Yeah, that's right.
And as you reflect, even encouraging people to reflect what the Lord has done for them through that year. You know? And even when storms come in our lives, we grow through those storms.
Yes,
God, you know, so there's positiveness to it. I remember preaching at the men's retreat. Storms come, but storms will end.
That's right.
Yeah.
They pass through.
They do.
When? I don't know when. But they're going to come to an end. You imagine if you just take your mind off of when things are going to be glorious and just start putting your hands to what's happening today.
Good.
Does not the scripture say don't worry about yesterday or don't worry about tomorrow because you got enough to worry about today.
Enough for today.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Let God handle the rest. That's where the rest of I get my peace. Hey, listen, if he wants to explain to me later why he was asking me to do something, that's fine. If he doesn't, I'm fine with that. And if he's telling me to go down a certain pathway, I'm not going to quiz him and say why. I'm just going to say if he wants to tell me later, he'll tell me. I'm just going to do it. And I got to tell you something. Those simple words have given me great peace.
Yes.
It's just, it's there, folks. So I wanted to share that with you because I want you to understand last night was a pretty key moment in the church, in the life of Harvest.
Yep.
Not because Sharon and I are here. It's because he used us to bring out what he's bringing out. And then this morning he's downloading all this stuff to me and I'm like, okay,
wow.
Okay, all right. So now, you know, rest. You know, I know it probably sounds crazy, but take the month of January. Now, I'm not saying don't show up for church. What I'm saying is take that deep breath and reflect over everything that God has done. And that's going to set the stage for kicking into 2023 big time.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, wow. I mean, I'm excited for y'all because something big is about to happen and I'm not quite too sure all that it is, but something big is about to happen. God walk, I'm just going to say this to you as your leaders. I would not say this to the congregation, but God walked with Pastor Marcy and Pastor Richard. And he was, I mean, because I was in contact with him, not all the time, but I was in contact, he literally walked with them because I'm thinking God is giving, using different voices to speak into your lives, okay, you know, Pastor Mike and stuff like that and everything, and he walked them through years and years of a buildup that could have landed into a disaster. Which is what Satan wanted. He wanted nothing more than to destroy Harvest.
Yeah.
Okay? And because he walked with you, look at where things are at. And because you were obedient. You know, I want to say something about your pastors. I mean, just because Sharon and I've used you guys. I haven't used your names, but I've used what you said. You know, I say we were with two pastors, because a lot of pastors we sit down with and they look at us and they go, excuse me, these are their words, get us the hell out of here. We can't do this anymore. Well, I know why they can't do it anymore, because they pushed themselves into that position. They weren't called. You know, there's a big thing, and I can't go off on this, but you got to be called to your ministry. Yep. You're not called to be a lead pastor. Don't step in it, because you're going to have to live a life of misery. Yeah. Okay? And they're always saying, get us out of this. Well, Sharon and I, we always say before we go somewhere, as much as we pour out, pour back into us and teach us something. We're sitting in Outback. It's okay I share this?
Sure.
We're sitting in the Outback. And I love Pastor Richard because I'm hard of hearing. And there's so much noise in the restaurant, I can still hear him. Everything I'm saying. And I can tell, I watch Pastor Mercy like this under the table now and then, giving him a little whack-a-rooney, okay? And I said to him, Pastor Richard, we need to know how to pray for you. Sharon and I, because there was all kinds of controversy out there, and we were part of the controversy. We need to know how to pray. Pastor Richard does his normal head, hands. Well, we're tying ourselves to the mast of the ship. And if the ship goes down, we go down with the ship. And I thought, whoa, elevator stopped going to the top floor and this guy. I'm just being honest. And I did a little study. They would tie... In times with the ships, with the sails and everything, if the ship was going to go down, they would tie the most promising successor to the captain, okay, to the mast of the ship, in hopes that if the ship flipped over, it would right itself, and that person would continue on.
Wow.
And what you said was so profound, because when I looked it up, but what... They both said, and I looked at Pastor Mercy, and she just nodding her head right along with it. And I'm like, we learned from two people. We learned from your two pastors a whole new level of faith, did we not, Sharon? Because I'm like, this man is facing the most impossible, I don't know how he sleeps at night. Really. Because you got a balloon hanging over you. You got all this other stuff hanging over you. And I'm thinking to myself, how is he sleeping at night? And the Lord said, faith. Faith. And I'm like, faith. He goes, his trust is totally in me. Don't you preach. The Lord dealt with me that night in the room. He said, don't you ever preach Proverbs 3 again until you are fully into it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And said, Charlie, you're a hypocrite if you preach that scripture again and can't grasp the faith these two people have that you just sat with. I want you to know, impossible odds. I mean, this thing was impossible. I even had pastors saying to me, they're not going to make it. And I'm like, don't say that. You know, don't negatively prophesy that stuff. Okay? Believe, add your faith. We have a very good friend, Tom Sardelli. He's my best friend. We talk every day. And his favorite saying is, I'm going to add my faith to yours. And so we've grabbed onto that. And we said, we're going to add our faith to Pastor Richard and Mercy's faith. And we're going to believe for the impossible to take place. And it did. Yeah. And so we learned. You need to know, we're not all perfect. We go through a lot of stuff. But you know what? When you got faith, sometimes that's all you have. It will do for you what nobody else can do. And so we're just blessed that our paths crossed. And it was through Pastor Mike. I remember the day he called me and said, Charlie, I want you to talk to somebody. I'd like to have you come out to the church. And I'm sitting in the church. I'm sitting in the motel room getting ready to preach your Sunday message in the theater. And I come across the scripture that says, why do you panel your own homes when you're not paneling, taking care of the walls in the house of the Lord? I'm going, I'm not preaching that here. It's my first time here. You know, and little did I know what was going on in the church. And so I want you all to know when you leave here today, and we're going to pray over some of you and everything, but before you leave here today, you need to know God has done the miraculous in the life of Carver's Church more than once. But the miraculous has taken place. And believe me, you're looking at two people who are in a lot of churches, and we're seeing the stupidest things being done. And I'll, you know what my prayer is? Lord, let us finish our ministry here before you come back and correct him, because I don't want any of the fallout, you know? And it's kind of crazy what we're seeing. And there's actually churches that we won't go back to because I don't agree with what they're preaching and what they're teaching, and I can't line it up with this. You know, when we were looking for a church in Florida, we went to one church and, you know, we're, hey, this is a pretty good church. Worship is awesome. Pastor wrote a book. My wife starts reading the book and she goes, you read this book yet? I go, no. And she goes, you need to read it. Now, Sharon's not a deep theologian or anything. And I'm thinking to myself, she's picking up on something. So I'm reading the book and I'm going, oh my God. You know, I'll give you an example. The scripture, where two or more are gathered in my name, there he is in the midst of them. His words in his book, never use that scripture, because you're sending a message to people. If there aren't two or more people there, God's not going to hear them. That's not what that scripture means, okay? You know? And I'm reading a few other areas. And see, we got to have that discernment.
Yeah.
And that's why this becomes so important, that when you read the Word and the Word is inside of you, your filters are there. And I always tell people, when people get prophetic words and they say, Charlie, can I send you a prophetic word I got? And I go, yeah, you can, but you know what? You got to filter it through the cross. Mm-hmm. Filter it through the Word, you know? And some people are getting, I've got people that are getting prophetic words at prophetic gatherings that are like off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Off the wall. But what are you going to do? You know, so that's why you got to have discernment. So before we start praying for y'all, I told Pastor Richard, sometimes guest ministry come, 90% of the time, guest ministry comes, and you never really know who the guest ministry is. I mean, yeah, we come here, we preach, we minister, but I'd like to take a little time before we pray. If there's anything you would like to ask us, sky's the limit. You can ask us anything about our personal lives. You can ask us anything about our lives in our ministry. You can ask us anything, because people get the wrong impression of ministers and pastors and people that have traveling ministries. And, you know, we've gone to some churches, they put up banners welcoming Prophet Sweet, and I say, you take that banner down right now. I am not into that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people that are out there that have traveling ministries like we do, and they think that they're the ultimate answer. They are, and that's not how Sharon and I operate. We just come and work under the leadership and everything, but sometimes, we've been here a number of times, and sometimes people don't know who we are. And so, if you have questions, we're going to answer them. If you don't, we'll just move on to pray. But I thought it might be a good time to maybe for you guys to get to maybe ask some questions that maybe have been in the back of your mind, and you say later, man, I wish I would have had an opportunity to ask them. So we're going to give you that chance right now. So,
perfect.
Opening it up.
I'd like to know, Sharon and Charlie, do you have a number one passion that God's placed in your heart since you were conceived in your mother's womb?
What are you saying?
I would like to know what your biggest passion is that you feel like the Lord placed in you from the minute you were conceived.
You mean as a child, as a baby?
No, you're right now, today, what do you have a number one biggest passion?
I got you. You want to go first?
Mine is healing. I just have the faith to believe for it. God healed me back in 95. Actually, in 94, when the vineyard thing was taking place, we would go a lot. And
we drive 1,200 miles round trip.
And I couldn't even make it half the time walking up front to go for prayer. During the worship and everything, I would just all of a sudden start to feel such a numbness and everything. And I'd go to walk, and next thing I know, I'm on the ground. And during that time, all of a sudden, I had such a hunger to read, and I was never a reader. And all of a sudden, I wanted to read all these books on healing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was God preparing me, because then in 95, I got diagnosed. And but I just had the faith to believe God was going to heal me. And he did.
And let me tell you something. Catherine Kuhlman's secretary, the one you read about in the book, that typed all her notes and kept notes in the stove to keep them dry and everything, she came to visit our church. And she came and prayed for Sharon. And Sharon's favorite saying was, what did you?
I would say, they say I have.
She said, Catherine never even used those words. She goes, I love that. You know, she would never say what they said they had. And I'm telling you, she was consuming books. Like, at a rate I could not believe. Smith Wigglesworth's books and all of these different books. And but that is her passion. But, you know, I don't mean to jump in on you a little bit, but your passion is also for the children, with the healing of children and stuff.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I watch her face when the St. Jude commercials come on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
She'll say to me, have you sent any money to them recently and stuff. So,
yeah.
Real passion.
Yeah.
My passion is people, plain and simple. Church is all about relationship. My biggest passion is for people that have been spiritually abused or hurt in other churches and they've given up on God. And just want to see the hearts of people return to the Lord that have walked away and have bought into the lies of the world or into other people's lies. And we just want to see people restored because, you know, I was serious when I said last night when the guy asked me, he says, what do you do for a living? I'm a train conductor. There's a song. There's an old song that talks about, I can hear the sound of the diesel engine of the train going from the East Coast to the West Coast, picking up the children of God to usher them home to heaven. And that is truly my heart, is to see people's tickets punched. Of course, the song says, you don't even need a ticket. I get it. But my heart is just to see people, they've turned away from God. They were walking so heavily with the Lord, and this new shiny thing came along. And then I talked to them after, and they're in no better a place than they were after they moved. And it breaks my heart. You got to know that you know when you pick up to go that it's God.
Yes.
You know? And so we just love people. I mean, we just care about people. And, you know, listen, it's getting harder for us to travel. It is. You know, I mean, 68 HM, but it's still hard when you're running between gates. And you know, I won't tell you how old Sharon is, but she's older than me. Okay? And, you know, and it's kind of sad because I watched her. We were running between gates. In Atlanta Airport. Atlanta Airport, those escalators are 7 stories high. And we're trying to run because we're going to miss this flight. We were going to Seattle, and I felt so bad. We're running down the escalator, and all of a sudden I hear clunk, And I turn around, and there's my wife somersaulting down.
My carry-on, I think.
The escalator.
The wheel. I was trying to hold it up. I had my purse there, too. And I think I kind of hit, and then I knew I was going.
Yeah. And so
thank God there wasn't people in front of
me. She got a little bruised up and everything, but a trooper. She got on the airplane. We went and did a one-week-long conference and everything.
Cracked the rib or something.
And our son, my son goes, Dad, you guys got to stop this. You're not geared for this anymore. And I go, we can't stop because God has not told us to stop.
Yeah.
And I told the story this morning when I tried to stop, and I told Pastor Marcy and Richard yesterday that I felt the Lord say to me, just lay the ministry down, because I was in a depressed mood with COVID and everything that was going on. And someone I hadn't talked to in 9 years, didn't know the guy. If I would have bumped into him, I wouldn't have known him. I just prophesied over him and his family in Madrid, New York, which is up by the St. Lawrence River near Canada. And I just said to my wife, it's time. I think we're just going to lay the ministry down. We're going to plow into our local church. We'll serve in the soup kitchen, you know, help them with their inner city ministries and everything. And 2 days later, I get an email from that guy I prophesied over in Madrid, New York, 1,600 miles away from us. And he says in the email, I woke up this morning and the Lord told me Charlie Sweet's in trouble. He's thinking of laying down the ministry. Call or write him. He writes me. And I'm reading it to her. I'm like, this is phenomenal. This guy does not know us from a bag of beans. 2 days later, I get another call. Charlie, the Lord's telling me to tell you, don't give up. You got. What do you say, 18 years or 17 years of ministry left in you? And I'm like, I'm doing the math. Wait, blah, blah, blah. I'm only in my 80s. What are you talking about? You know? And so I'm like, okay, you got my attention, Lord. The next day, the Canadian pastor calls me from Ottawa and says, I'm in Burundi. There's two churches that want you and Sharon out here. One's 15,000, one's 18,000 people. They want you to come and spend a month. And I'm like, all right, Lord, uncle, I give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel on the ministry, because that's how much God loves us. And that's why my passion is people. And really, her passion is people. You're not going to find the quietest, most gentlest spirit you're going to find is with Sharon. She is just, you know, she just loves people. Yeah, that's a real good question. Anybody else?
An academic question.
Yeah.
How would you contend for the prophetic word that came over the house last night? What does that look like to you to contend and to fight for and believe for the Shekinah glory of God to settle in the house?
You're saying not how I got the word, but the word that came upon.
The word that came, now that it's been given, how do we as a church contend? I mean, that was part of the message last night.
You got to contend for it.
You have to contend for it. So what does that look like to contend?
That's a very good question. I don't want to, so I'm just going to speak, I want to clarify, okay? Because so many people, my brother-in-law, her brother pastors a great church. And he called me one day and he said, Charlie, you have to be very careful what you say, because people trust your words. And when you talk, they think you're prophesying. So he says, you got to kind of, so I'm telling you right now, I'm not prophesying this. I'm just talking from my heart. Okay. All right. When you contend for a word, first of all, you have to keep the word foremost in front of you at all times, because we're human beings. And we forget. We get caught up in the everyday things and the struggles of church and work and everything that's going on. We have to contend for it. And one way to contend for it is you have to keep the word front and center. So what we used to do is we would type the word up as much as I mean, back in the day when we typed the word up, they were on old Remington typewriters. So when you held the paper up, you could see the I's, the dot would go through, and the periods would go through. You could see light through the paper. And we would hand them out to the people. If it was a corporate word for the church, we would hand them out to the people, and we would say, carry these in your Bibles. Carry these wherever you go. Read this every day, because we have to contend for it, because you've got to get it in your spirit to believe for it. The second thing is, when God speaks it, it's almost organic. And, you know, sometimes we try to figure out ways to make it happen. It has to be birthed by the Spirit.
Absolutely.
And actually, that's what happened last night.
Yeah.
Because of the hunger, it was so easy to minister over y'all last night. It wasn't funny. Because you're prepared, your hearts are hungry. So this word that came last night, as it settles into your spirit, in your heart, it will happen naturally. There is nothing you're going to be able to do to make this word come to pass any quicker other than prayer, worship. That's it. I mean, in inviting, I know this sounds so simple, but there are churches that are not inviting the presence of the Lord. I read a book. I know I've got it on my bookshelf, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was about these three monks. One of them was Brother Francis and stuff. And it's all about how to invite the presence of the Lord in your everyday life so that it becomes like breathing. Now, this is going to sound really ridiculous, but what he said is take sticky notes.
Yes.
And take the sticky notes, put them on your phone, put them on your desk, put them, you know, in your Bible and everything. And the sticky notes basically says, take time with me in my presence. Mm-hmm. And so you're conditioning your mind and you're conditioning your heart to the point right now, for me, I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, I invite your presence in everything that I do today. Whoever I encounter, whoever I talk to on the phone, let your presence be here. And even throughout the day, things start to get a little, Lord, we invite your presence, okay? And if you struggle with it, and I'm going to be honest with you, Sunday we were in church, we were going through, we weren't having intense fellowship, it wasn't between us, but we were going through a situation that took place, and so I'm in church, and I'm like, God, you got to help me, God, you got, now all this time I'm praying, Cindy, God, you got to help me, they're doing an altar call. In the church, if anybody needs prayer, if you're going through something, and I'm yelling, God, you got to help me. And God goes, shut up and listen what they're saying. And I listened and I'm like, I said to her, I'm going to go get prayer. And I went and got prayer. Oh, my God. It was the campus pastor of the church who happened to be praying over me. It was a prophetic prayer. And we go home within 3 hours. It all came to pass. Every answer, right? Everything took place. And I wrote my pastor and I said, holy smokes. You know, and he writes me back. He goes, you've been saved longer than I've walked this earth. And you're doing holy smokes. I go, yeah, I'm excited. And, you know, sometimes it requires the prayer. You just got to get on your face. Because doesn't the word say that they were praying and they stumbled into the intercession? And the word was, Lord, you were here all this time and I didn't even know it. That's how you contend, is prayer. And a lot of people, listen, I didn't understand what it's like to deal with traffic until we moved to Florida and we got introduced to I-95 that has 6 lanes of traffic on each side, and what it takes to go. I mean, our GPS will say it's 3.1 miles to get where we got to go. And 45 minutes later, we're pulling into the parking lot. Because we're used to country living in upstate New York. And you can go anywhere like that. And now we're learning to contend with this. Okay? And so I know it's difficult on you, but corporate prayer will move manifest hands of God. Prayer will move the hands of God. To get the presence of the Lord, I feel, and I'm just going to say this to you, and I'll know more on Sunday, but just in the worship last night, I felt the presence of the Lord was there in the house. But see, there's levels of presence There's the presence of God that can come and go with, you know, the hearts of the people and everything. But when the Shekinah glory comes, it is that lingering, heavy presence that will fall. And it will not leave. But if you don't pour your hearts out into that presence, it will go. It is conditional. So the third thing I want to say to you is, it's going to be, it's organic and everything, but it's going to be conditional on the hearts of the people. Because if you don't have the heart to pour in prayer and worship, you know, sometimes I just tell a church, just bring your, you know, so many churches have so many anointed musicians. And I say, just put your musicians up there and let them play. And you know, we've been in some churches, the musicians are up there, and all of a sudden, they're prophesying on their instruments. You could tell the instrument is prophesying. And words start to, when we went to IHOP and we saw what was going on down there, it was phenomenal. That presence will linger as long as you open your arms to that linger and submit yourselves to the Lord. And that means it's going to take commitment, it's going to take time. But if you're going to see the Lord break through in 2023, and that presence is going to come and linger, you've got a job to do. I'm glad you asked this question, because it's not just going to come and, oh, wow, we can do what we want. It's just going to be here. No. That presence is going to have to be contended for. And to hold it, you've got to keep it. Amen? Good. That's awesome. That is awesome. Anybody else want to ask us anything? You can ask us anything you want.
I think I've always wanted to know, there's a significant difference when you prophesy versus other prophets. And I think I just always wanted to know, how would you say that you're so accurate and so, like, you, like, it's we laugh, right? Because when we know the person, you don't know them, and you're just saying so many details that are... Yeah. Funny. I say, what would you say is the difference?
That's an excellent question. As a matter of fact, that's chapter 5 of what I'm teaching in the prophetic. There are levels of the prophetic. One of the best things that we've ever had in our life, being under Pastor Mike Cervello, is he exposed us to a lot of ministry.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw a name out there, Pastor Reg Lazelle. Some of you may know who he is, but he was part of the Latter Day movement and Canadian, a very mighty man of God. What was the name of their church? Oh my God, I can't even think of the name of their church. But anyway, his church supported, they'd have a Sunday night service. That Sunday night service supported 80 missionaries on the field for 22 years.
Wow.
One service, the tithe from one service. Glad tidings. There it is. Bingo. Sometimes I lose my train of thought, but God says, don't worry, another train's on its way. So I appreciate it.
That's good.
So what they taught me, and it's true, there's various levels of the prophetic. There's three levels of the prophetic. There's the gift of prophecy. There is the prophetic anointing on your life, and then there is the office of the prophet. The gifted prophetic, or the gifting of the prophetic, is if you ever notice when a prophetic voice comes into a building, it stirs up and everybody else wants to prophesy. That's the gift of prophecy. That's what happens. The presence of a prophetic voice will do it. The prophetic voice will be a person who moves and operates in the prophetic anointing, okay? And will have, can be super accurate and everything, but they're limited. You know, the limit of the prophetic is there. And then you have what's called the office of the prophet. And the office of the prophet is normally like... it's just recognized, and it's a very powerful line of the prophetic. MFI has put me, everybody's into titles, I am not into titles, but they say that I operate in the office of the prophetic. And we swim in a lot of different streams. We're in the Pentecostal Church of God churches. We're even in Baptist churches, believe it or not, embracing the prophetic and stuff. But I've said all of that to give you that there are three levels, but the level of the prophetic that the Lord has given me has not always been this way, okay? Number one, the three mentors that I had in our life, including Reg, if you wanted to say Reg was the fourth, Reg stayed in our home and such, but they're pouring into me, laying on hands. Every one of my mentors are home with the Lord right now. And they laid hands and imparted. We so believe in the impartation of the gifts. So I had David Schock, who was very powerful. I had Pastor Joe Rowe. And many people don't know that David Schock and Joe Rowe were a team. Joe Rowe was Pastor Schock's youth pastor for years. But they were two of my mentors. And then I had a mentor who just passed last year. He fell, hit his head. And Dr. Wilson, he was 85 or 86, traveled the world. And his prophetic was word-based and prophetic. That's where that impartation came to me, on the word-based. David Schock was very seen into people's hearts and lives. Joe Rose was very practical, okay, and Reg, he was just kind of all around, but an apostolic, and I believe through the laying on of hands, a lot of these giftings were imparted into my life. And if you notice, when I prophesy, I'll say to you, I see, I don't hear. Very seldom do I hear, I see. The Lord is actually playing a video. When I prayed over you last night, I saw school buses with toys coming out the windows. Okay? I don't know why. You know? And it just comes out. And sometimes I'm even afraid to say what I say because I'm like, I can't believe what's coming out of my mouth, you know? And I'll say, Lord, this better be right because this is going to be real messy if it's not. So all I can say to you is, other than maybe impartation, I don't know why God is using me this way. And I'm going to be honest with you. We shared a little bit. I'm not going to use names or anything, but there are other prophetic voices that won't work with me. Because they say I'm too accurate and it shows them up and they feel inadequate and everything.
And they feel once he's prophesied, there's nothing else to
prophesy.
Say.
And what that does is, see, that's what, I'm saying this to give you a picture of the church. There's competition entering the church and stuff like that, and it shouldn't be that way.
No.
We're all called. Ephesians 4 talks about we're all gifted, and we all have a uniquely set in the house of the Lord. We each have a job to do, and one supports the other. It's like a body, you know, the hand helping the other hand and everything. But all I can say to answer this question is, I don't know. You know, people ask me, Charlie, the pastor that interviewed me from Canada last week before we came out here, he goes, how do you prepare for the prophetic? Are you kidding me? There's no way to prepare for this. You know, we stay in the Word.
Yeah.
Listen, again, I don't want to sound legalistic or moralistic with you, but we read our Word every morning. And I also read it for pleasure. I read it to study. We read three devotionals from Billy Graham.
Right.
One on wisdom, one on peace, and one on
faith.
Oh. Yeah, faith.
Yep.
Faith. So we read them.
Yeah.
And then I do Mickey Gumbel, getting through the Bible in 1 year. I listen to his devotional, and then I go through the scriptures with him and everything. And we listen to a lot of worship music. Listen, we're product of the 70s. You know, you put ABBA on, you got my full attention. And you know, as a matter of fact, I just During Christmas time, we like to watch different movies. I just put on Mamma Mia because I love, you know, I love the music and I love seeing what goes on. And but we listen to worship music and we're in the Word, and but we live our normal lives and everything. There's no way to prepare for this. I go to... So grateful that Pastor Richard or Pastor Marcy did not say yesterday in the restaurant, so what do you think God's saying tonight? Because at that point, I had no idea. And she will tell you,
right.
I've got over 400 and some odd sermons archived that I never got to preach. Because I'll walk into the church, we're in the worship, and all of a sudden the Lord will say, scrap what you got. This is what I want you to do. And I have to just open my Bible and take the scripture he gives me and just go with it. Because I don't know. We went to one church and the pastor's grilling me. I felt like, geez, why don't you just put a spotlight on me? What are you going to preach today? I don't know. What are you going to pray today? I don't know. He goes, well, what are you going to do? And I go, Pastor, let me tell you something. You keep putting this pressure on me. You're going to do the preaching and the prophesying and everything because I'm not going to be able to hear God's voice. Sometimes it's last minute. I don't know why he does what he does. You know, when I walk up to someone and say, I see you behind the cockpit in an airplane, fly and find out it's a pilot or find out the person's a doctor and I'm talking about they have the hands of a surgeon. All I can think of is God wants them to know it's true and it's real.
Yeah.
And he's giving them nuggets to hold on to. Because you know how I know? I've tested this theory, so you know. Because I said, Lord, if you give me names. And man, remember that one time I saw the guy on an operating table? And I said, I see the machine going, eh, and you died on the. He actually literally died on the table. We were in Connecticut for that one. I remember that. And so I said, all right, Lord, you said you were going to bless us in a unique way in our latter years. Never played a lottery ticket. And I went and bought a lottery ticket, and I had to call a friend and say, I've never filled one of these out. Tell me how to do it. So I said, Lord, give me these numbers. Give me these numbers. I will double tithe. I will even tithe the churches we visit. Let me hit this big one. It's $168 million. Put it in. I go to bed. I said, sure, God's going to bless us. Okay. Get up the next morning. I'm looking. I didn't have one number. And I heard the audible voice of the Lord say, how'd that work out for you, Charlie? So, you know, I don't know. I think it's for the benefit of the people. I don't know why he gets so, other than, like I said, for the people to hold on to, but sometimes he says things to me and I can't, I almost can't get them out of. Do you ever notice I walk behind the person?
Yeah.
Because I can't look at them. Because if I look at them, I'm not going to be able to speak what I have to say. Listen, I was in Canada. We were on the Indian Reservation.
Oh, yeah.
Willie Jack. I don't know if you ever met Willie Jack from upstate New York. Pure Indian. And he had a church on the reservation. And they were celebrating their anniversary, and they built a brand new building. And I helped him with the building because at the time, inline heating was a new thing. Mm-hmm. And I told him to put it in his concrete, you know. Because if your feet are warm, your body's warm, okay? And you save on energy and everything. So there's this guy, just like you're standing there, just like that. Got a cup in his hand of coffee. Long, scraggly hair, scrubbly beard, you know, yellow t-shirt, red flannel shirt, jeans with holes in it. And I honestly think he had manure in his boots and stuff. And he's standing there and the Lord says, you're going to go pray for him. So I go to pray for him and words come out of my mouth. I see you as a secret agent and God is using you to protect. I'm hearing these words come out of my mouth and I'm looking at the guy and I'm going, oh dear God. At the time I had hair. I'm thinking I'm going to leave with no hair. Okay. They're going to take me out here, you know. And I'm praying. I see you guarding people at the White House and everything. He stood there stoic. Didn't bat an eye. So Mike Cervelli, Mike was with me. And so I go back, and we get in his, he had an Explorer at the time. He goes, when we go to the restaurant, don't sit near me. Because he said, he kicked that guy off, and he goes, I don't want you near me. You know? And I'm like, oh, wonderful. So we get there, and we sat down, and all of a sudden, I got my back into wherever this guy was in the restaurant, and Mike's going, uh-oh. And, you know, Mike Cervelli, when he, his eyebrows kind of go up like a puppet, you know, like they go way up, you know. And he's going, uh-oh. He goes, you're in trouble now. And I go, Mike, don't screw around. He goes, Charlie, don't look behind you. But he's coming full steam. He gets there. And he goes, how did you know? I go, how did I know what? How did you know? And he reaches in his back pocket and he pulls out. He is security. He is CIA material, CIA badge. He's an undercover guy who protects all these dignitaries. And I outed him in front of 275 people. And now Mike, who's got a great heart, who when he opens his mouth, when he's trying to be good, gets you in worse trouble. Okay. He's going, no, seriously, sir. He knows nothing, you know, and, you know, and all this kind of thing. He's going, well, why are you defending him then? And I'm like, Mike, shut your mouth. You're making this worse. Do you know he had me investigated? I was investigated to make sure that I wasn't some kind of infiltrating type of thing. So I'll never forget. To answer your question, I said, Lord, you can show me what color underwear they're wearing. I will not speak it. I mean, I was there. I said, if it's going to get that detail, I'm not going to do it because I'm scared. You know, I'm worried, you know, someone's going to do something to me, you know. And David Schock, I was talking to David Schock about it. And, you know, you got to know David to appreciate this. He goes, what are you worried about? Jesus took the sting out of death. So you get shot in the head. You just go home to heaven early. What's the big deal about it? You know, that's how David was. Come on, you knew him probably longer than I knew him. That's just who he was. And I just wrote it off. He's a Californian. You know, I mean, he's a little flaky here. You know? But I don't know. I just don't know. And I had to get past the point where I did try to suppress it. And when the time I suppressed it, Steve Williams was with me. We were at Tyrone Jones's church in Yuma, Arizona. And Steve goes, Charlie, what's wrong with you? And I go, why? And he goes, you're stuttering. You're pausing. Your word normally just flows. And it was because I was trying to repress the detail the Lord was giving me. And he said, you can't do that. You just gotta let it rip. And so, long answer, but that's, there's nothing simple about how God has used us. It's just been riddled with, you know, when the doctor said, take her home and make her comfortable, maybe she's got a year to live. Boy, I was ticked. Mm-hmm. And I went out into the woods behind our house, and I was yelling and screaming at God. And I said, you promised Sharon, you know, you can't take her home now. She's got too much more. And then she's telling one of our elders' wives, I don't know what I'm going to do with Charlie. He's bringing me down. he's bringing me down. You know, his faith isn't there. And so I got home. I got home and my cell phone rang, and back at the time had the flip phone, you know, and I answered the phone, and it's our elder's wife, and she goes, Charlie? And I go, yeah. And she goes, you alone? I go, yeah. She goes, your kids aren't around you? And I go, no. And all of a sudden she says this, what the hell is wrong with you? You're bringing your wife down. You know, she's potentially going to die, and you're screaming and having all this unbelief. What is? And it was like the Lord was slapping me around. And so it's been a learning experience. And the more we press into God, I'm telling you, when I thought I was going to just hang it up, and we got all those confirmations last year at the Sound in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It was scary accurate, so scary that J.O., the pastor, he was on the floor more than he was standing up, just weeping and crying. We saw the miraculous taking place. And I say to the Lord, why me, Lord? Why did you select me? And the Lord goes, well, I use the jawbone of an ass, don't I? You know, no, listen, guys, this is how God talks to me. And I'm like, I don't know why. Why do you use me? Because it comes with controversy.
Yes, it does.
It comes with a lot of churches leery of me. Yeah.
Or we'll tell them what happened in New Hampshire.
Yeah, we had a pastor in New Hampshire say to me, he goes, you must have went on and read about these people and everything, you know.
Leaders on the internet.
You know, and so I share with him the story that we go to Taiwan. No, Singapore. And we went into Malaysia to do a conference, Mike and I. 2,800 Malaysians in a conference room. First time ever. This goes back some years. Mm-hmm. First time ever. I'm sitting in the front row, and the Lord starts giving me names. So first time he ever gave me people's names. And I was writing the names, and they were English first names and Chinese second names. Mm-hmm. And he gave me six names. So I look at Pastor Mike and I go, Mike, this has never happened before, but look, God's given me names of people. And Mike, traditional, true to form, go stand over there. I go, well, should I show the pastor? He goes, yeah, well, let me go to the bathroom, you know. He goes, Charlie, we got 2,800 people sitting here. We just flew 37 hours, you know, because we went right from the airport to the meeting. And he goes, well, go ahead. So I went up to the pastor. He was recently died, who pastored all these churches in Singapore, tied to MFI. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, in our culture, they take on American first names, but they keep their last name. He said, you have spelled all six last names correctly, wow, except for one. And those two names are said the same but spelled differently. Mm-hmm. And I was blown out of the water. I mean, it was the first time that it ever happened. And so I'm sitting here when this pastor says to me, well, you must have went on. I just prayed over 50 people in your church. I can't remember people's names, mm-hmm, not alone stuff about people. I'm in a church of 2,800 people, and God's given me their names, you know. And by the way, there was no, back in those days, there wasn't all the social media like we have and everything. So it comes with a price. It comes with people being leery. It comes with the fact that we've gone to go do some prophetic gatherings when I was doing them, and people wouldn't get up in the chairs to be prophesied over as long as I was prophesying, because they were afraid I might bring something out about them that they didn't want people to know. And I tell people that that's not how God works in the prophetic. He's not out to harm you or make a mockery. He sees the good in us. And if God shows me something, and he has, I call the pastor over and I put the mic down and I ask the worship people to start singing a song or something, and we'll talk to the person personally. But we won't, God is not out to embarrass. And so the pastor said to me, I got an elder and his wife that won't sit down for the prophetic because they're afraid. And I said, well, let me tell you something, brother, right there, that is a yellow flag for me that something's going on in their life, and you best sit down and talk to them. And when he did, he found out that the two of them hadn't slept together in the same bedroom in over 3 years. Mm-hmm. That their marriage was falling apart. And they were elders in the church. And they were afraid God was going to bring that out. And God would have never brought that out. Never. Wouldn't have happened. Because that's how much God loves us.
Right.
Yeah. Excellent question. I mean, it's, I don't know. I just don't know. It's the gifting, you know? And, you know, we have so many pastors that say to us, why didn't you have your own church? Why didn't you and Sharon? You would have probably had a great church. I'll tell you why. God didn't say to start a church. Not called to be a number one guy. You know, and you know, if I were to have a church, honestly, Jesus would have to come right down and look me right in the eyes, because that's the last thing I want. You know, I want to stay in my lane. I want to stay. That's the other thing. Stay in your lane. If you're good at being a musician, stay in that lane. If you're a good counselor, stay in that lane. Don't covet what everybody else has got, you know. Be who God has called you to be and stay in that lane and excel at it. And that's what's happened to me. The more I pressed in to the prophetic, the more he's meeting us. And I had a clear word from the Lord. He said, after I went through this little valley experience I went through, the Lord said, I'll tell you when it's time for you to step away, and it will be confirmed through voices, other voices. I'm probably keeping you guys too long. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
If you have to go, there's the door.
We had, I was in Ecuador. No, I was in the Amazon. And it was, the place is called PAZ, Project Amazon. And there were 250 churches. I was with Joe Rowe, one of my
mentors.
And all the pastors and their wives came in, all 250 of them, and we were prophesying over them. So they got five husbands and wives sitting, there were 10 people sitting in front of us at a time. And I went to lay my hands on the guy, the first pastor, and I went like that, and my hand literally stopped. Did you ever see a mime? You know, when they're doing, that's what it was like. I could not put my hand on his chest or his head. And so Joe comes up to me. And Joe, if you remember Joe Rowe, Joe had a real deep voice. He was from Louisiana. We called him God because his voice was very deep. And when he spoke, it sounded like God. So he comes up to me and he goes, hey, brother, what's wrong with you? And he goes, is the heat getting to you? I mean, well, heat, yeah, it's 105 degrees, and you shower, and you're wetter after the shower, after you dry off in the shower. It's hot, but I said, I can't get the wind. He goes, that's right, sit down. So he prays over him. So he goes, try the next guy. So I try the next guy. Boom, same thing. So he goes, sit down, take a rest. So he prophesied over all five couples. As he's doing it, the Lord said to me, see that couple? I go, yeah. He goes, see the other couple? I go, yeah. He goes, they're swapping.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, no, not today, Lord. We are not going there. When that airplane took off, I was told it's not coming back for 2 weeks. We are only in our third day. You know, I am not, we're not going to open this can of worms. And he goes, yeah, you are.
Oh, gosh.
So I tell Joe, I said, Joe, this is what the Lord is showing me. He goes, Brother Charlie. You know, and he goes, well, let's go talk to the lead guy who was over all these pastors in Project Amazon. And he goes, absolutely not. I know these people intimately and blah, 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 blah. And so I apologized and I said, I'm so sorry. You know, maybe it's just the heat or whatever. And so we went to lunch. You know, and they fed us some kind of porridge that had pigtails and pig ears in it. And Joe's going, you got to eat it or you'll offend them. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's almost as bad as the tribe that we went to see and all these women that had three or four teeth in their mouth that pre-chewed your food and then spit it back in the bowl and handed it to you. You know, Randy Ziegler at the time, who I was with, Randy said, you got to eat it or you're going to offend them. And I'm like, oh, dear God. Anyway, we're having lunch, and the head of Paz comes up to us, and he goes, can you guys come to my office? And the two couples were sitting there, and they're crying profusely. And it was true.
And it
was true.
That's why the Lord wouldn't let me prophesy over him. It's a strange, and I was young then. Tina was just turning 16. She's how old now? 38. So this goes back a ways. And every year I get a letter from Paz. We'd like to have you back out. And I go, They brought us in this room that had hammocks. And they said, this is where you're going to sleep. And you got to shake your clothes out every morning and every night because scorpions get in them. Okay. And I said, where is the showers? And they go, the Amazon. And I'm thinking all the stories I read about the Amazon, piranhas and orifice fish and all this other kind of stuff. And so I looked at the head of Paz. This is before even the meetings. I started the meeting off really well. And Joe's so embarrassed. I said, unless you find me a place to sleep that has porcelain, white porcelain, a toilet, a shower, I am not staying here. I said, I don't care how I get home. If I got to charter a flight, I'll get home. And it so happens 20 minutes down the road, they had a bungalow that I was able to stay. And then Joe goes, I'm so glad you spoke up. I'm like, lay hands on me, Joe. Glad you're beating me up for it. But, you know, I'm telling you, the prophetic is a different animal, if I can make it sound that way. It's different, and it's different for everybody. Everybody's at different levels of the prophetic. Some people have incredible words of knowledge and stuff. God chose to use this gift uniquely, and so I don't question it. I just go for it. And last year was our worst year because people got very vocal about it. You know, and pastors are calling me and saying, well, Charlie, I wanted to have you out, but these people don't want to work with you because they feel intimidated by you. And I'm like, well, you know, you're called pastor. You know, I mean, you know the level of the prophetic that I have. If you want to have those folks in, knock yourself out. It doesn't. I don't need meetings, okay? We don't need meetings. You know, we're booked. We're already booked. We capped it at 22 this year, and we're working on our last four right now to bring us to 22. I don't want to do any more meetings, you know. We're good. And
we're glad you did this one.
Yeah, I'm glad I did too. So, you know, let's just, I've got some words for some people. Let's pray and then give you the rest of your day back. You know, for me, I could go all day. That's just who I am.
That's so, okay.
You know, but I'm trying to be respectful of everybody's, your time. And such a commitment to be here. And I just know that God has got so much in store for this church. And Pastor Richard's been so honoring because concerned about our health and traveling during COVID. And, what started this whole thing, just before I pray, we were invited to do a church in Beaverton, Oregon, when COVID hit. And the Lord spoke to me and said, for the next 10 months, you're not going to get on an airplane. You're not going to travel anywhere. So you're going to have to tell them you're not coming. And when I told them I wasn't coming, the first words out of their mouth was, where's your faith? And that really hurt, you know. And I tried in my best way to say, you know, God gives us wisdom. You know, and I'm hearing the voice of the Lord. Not only did I hear the voice of the Lord, she heard. And then some of my friends and even our kids were saying, Dad, we just don't feel this is the right thing to do. And, you know, Pastor Richard, he didn't know we were traveling. We had a heavy travel year last year. And I said, God will speak to Pastor Richard when it's ready and it's time to go. Well, long story short, that church that, I won't give you all the details, but it got canceled. And then they had a second thought and they invited somebody else to come and do what we were going to do. And then we were supposed to go to the MFI meetings and minister at MFI. And the person that went in our place, him and his wife, both got COVID, and COVID killed him. He got it. He's compromised like I am with my heart and such. And he went out and did it. Danny Bonilla, that some of you might know who Danny is. And it killed him.
Well, he went and got a shot when he came back.
He got a he was worried he would get the flu, so he got a flu shot. And he got the flu shot on top of having COVID. And it threw his heart. It caused him to have a stroke. And it was a real mess. And I just thanked the Lord. I said, Lord, you know what? You guided our steps. You protected us. And that's why the prophetic is so subjective and such. You have to know the timing of God. It's timing. Because we go to some churches, and I know it's not the timing because it's very difficult to minister. You know, the people aren't prepared or something's not... not right. So, you know, we got to wait on God. And that's what God's doing here. He wants you to wait on him. Have that Selah moment and reflect and watch and see what, just watch and see what God's going to do. I mean, it's just amazing. Just amazing.